Presenting the world's greatest mysteries. And now, your host.
This is Basil Rathbone. Once again, I bring you mystery. What's your pleasure for today? Gaslight or neon? Well, let's take our mystery in the modern manner. A tale as up to date as today's newspaper. Our storyteller works for the Paris edition of a famous American newspaper, and his job is to investigate the stories behind the headlines. Sometimes from small beginnings, a paragraph tucked away on page six, shall we say, Mike finds the lead to big and exciting news. Take today's story, for instance. If Mike hadn't... I mustn't tell you the story for him. Let him relate it, just as it happened to him. And now, to you. In a moment, the story begins.
Presenting Europe Confidential.
Grady, research this room. Take the furniture to pieces, rip up the floorboards. Look for secret hiding places.
You can't do that to my business. What's the idea?
The idea, Mr. Roberts, is microscopic film. But you wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
In a moment, we'll bring you Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy, the Paris correspondent of a famous American newspaper, in another exciting story in our series, Europe Confidential.
Hi, this is Mike Conoy. Today in Paris, I saw Paul Winfield again. I was sitting in a cafe on the Boulevard Michel when he walked past, and at first I hardly recognized him. But when he stopped beside my table and spoke, I knew him immediately. Maybe he heard me give my order to the waiter, or else perhaps he knew me, but for a moment I wasn't quite sure.
Sir, am I talking to a fellow American?
It was Winfield, sure enough. I nodded for him to sit down, and then he leaned forward and began to talk, and I knew then that he didn't remember me.
My friend, I've got to talk to a fellow countryman. I've had some trouble here. Bad times, you understand. I badly need help.
What sort of help?
Well, anything you could spare, sir. Dollars or francs. If you like, I can take you to some special nightclubs for $50.
Sorry, I'm not a tourist.
Well, then perhaps alone, huh?
Should I write a check to Paul Winfield?
What did you say?
Winfield. That's your name, isn't it?
No, you must be mistaken. My name's Fraser. Excuse me. You must be confusing me with somebody else.
Well, I wasn't confusing him with anyone else. He knew that I knew it. As I watched him move away, I remembered back all those years. Wartime London, 1943. To the two people with whom the story had begun long before I came into the picture. The two people who met in the plain office near St. James's Street. An office which was the wartime headquarters of MI5.
Come in, Mr. Downgrade, eh?
Thank you,
sir. Cut it off. Well, How are all our friends and kin, Jim?
Oh, it's quite busy down there, Major. That photographic studio is really in business. Bennett, Rogers, and Miss Palmer all had a picture taken yesterday. They made independent appointments in the usual way.
Find out anything?
Well, they made their appointments dovetail. So while Miss Palmer was in the studio, Bennett had a chance to look around, and while Bennett was in there, Rogers did the same.
Yes.
Well, now, they couldn't further on too much, sir. There was a receptionist. Very blonde. Very sharp-eyed. And for an ordinary small photographer, those people have a lot of high-powered, expensive equipment.
They do? Anything else?
A locked room, fitted with a special combination safe lock.
Oh, that seems out of place, though.
Well, sir, it's up to you now.
I don't think they're important, Grady. But just the same, we might as well have them in.
A small fry leads a bigger fish sometimes, and that locked door.
Exactly. We'll raid them tonight at 1800 hours.
You're coming along, sir?
Yes, Grady, I'm coming along. I'm as interested in that locked door as you are.
The place to be raided was a small commercial photographer situated in South Kensington. For some weeks, intelligence officers had had them under surveillance, and that night they moved in. A highly indignant manager protested in vain as men from military intelligence and Scotland Yard's special branch searched the premises.
Gentlemen, this is an outrage. I demand that these men leave my premises this very minute.
I'm sorry, Mr. Roberts. You've already seen our warrant giving us full authority to conduct the search. I suggest you open the door at the end of the passage and stop making too fast better.
That room is strictly private.
Open it.
But it contains personal papers, nothing more.
Open it or we'll save you the trouble.
What do you mean?
Ready. Get three of the squad, will you? Take the door down.
With pleasure, sir. Wait.
Well, Mr. Roberts.
All right.
I'll open.
Sometimes it's a long while to remember, right?
We're willing to wait. Yeah. Now open the door. What's in the filing cabinet?
Oh, copies of all this commercial work we do.
What's it for him?
An enlargement?
Very powerful one.
It is important work. Big important work here.
But it kind of works, too, I imagine.
What do you mean? I don't know what any of this is about.
Don't you, Mr. Robert? Ready. We'll search this room. Take the furniture to pieces, take up the floorboard, look for secret hiding places.
You can't do that to my business. What's the idea?
The idea, Mr. Roberts, is microscopic film. If you wouldn't know anything about that, we'll go.
The search was very thorough and lasted for several hours. At the end of that time...
Here we are, sir.
Yes, Brady.
One of the men on Feather Duty.
Wow.
Let me have those.
Kevin, Brady.
Oh, no, you don't, brother. These aren't going to be destroyed until we've taken a good look at them.
Four tiny microscopic rows. I think we found what we were looking for.
With a story in which you played only a minor part, it's often necessary to imagine certain events and to reconstruct incidents which were not actually eyewitnesses at the time. Thus, that same night, while the MI5 men were raiding a photographic studio, two people met on the Thames embankment, alone in the damp fog that hung like a gray blanket over the city and the river.
Well, I'm so glad you could come tonight. Have you anything?
One roll of film, Maria. I don't know how much longer I can go on like this.
Well, is something the matter?
I'm worried. So far, it's been too easy.
Well, why not? It's easy because of the American embassy. They are fools.
No, Maria. Maybe I have a grudge against my country, but I know them better than that. They're not fools.
And you are not a coward, darling.
Well, I wish I could feel sure of that. It's been so easy. But it can't go on forever.
Well, we are working for our beliefs. If we only help make one tiny advance in the German conquest of the world, we will have done our share.
Yeah, they told me that in Berlin. But it seemed easier there, easier to believe. You still love me, don't you?
Oh, of course.
Sometimes I sense a change in you. Probably being stupid.
You are, my dear. Our love is a luxury, and in these times we have to deny it. But when Adolf Hitler invades England...
Will he invade soon?
Before the end of the summer. And Paul, things will be different. I should be there to meet the Führer when he lands at Dover, and afterwards, there'll be you and I again.
Sounds too good to be true. No one thinks he can still invade.
Oh, they underestimate him. If we do our share, we'll make it possible. And that is why you mustn't give up now.
All right, a few moments. Didn't get away with it that long. There's some new coded messages from Washington today. I'll try and get them tomorrow.
We'll meet the night after. At the same time and place.
Come in, Major Anderson. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Now, you chaps of military intelligence have got onto something this time.
I thought we had, sir.
These rolls of microfilm contain decoded messages passing between Washington and the U.S. Embassy here. Exactly, Major. This is dynamite.
Can you talk to the American ambassador?
Yes. I asked him to leave the case in our hands for the moment. I explained that the photographic studio was suspect for a long time, and that obviously they've been doing some developing work for a German spy ring in England. Now, we don't want to move too fast and upset the apricot.
I agree.
Now, since they're civilian personnel, I got the okay on them. Of course, the ambassador wants to spot the leakers as fast as he can, so you're going to meet a chap from Army Security tomorrow, name of, Conroy. He'll have all the dossiers of men and women holding confidential posts in the embassy, and then it's up to you.
Well, that was how I came into this story, as a junior officer attached at the time to security. I had the job of liaison to MI5, whose case it really was. Together with Major Anderson, I went over all the files as he and his boys eliminated and narrowed the field down. Finally, Anderson was able to report to his commissioner.
Two men, sir. They had the opportunity to take those files, and they have the background that fits in with the general picture.
You agree on that, Connor?
Yes, sir, I do.
Who are the men?
The first is an assistant undersecretary, Henry Carruthers by name. He'd have a chance to see the files, of course. And he traveled widely on the continent before the war.
Mm-hmm. And the other?
A fellow called Paul Winfield, the cipher clerk.
Yeah, he'd certainly see the messages as they came through.
He's in the decoding section, sir.
What's his history?
10 years at the American State Department, Fed Intelligence, received rapid promotion. This job is a stepping stone to a secretaryship.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, he took 6 months' leave of absence, visited Germany.
2 years ago? There was a big rally at Nuremberg at that time.
It ties in with Nuremberg rally, sir. Apart from that, it has expressed anti-Semitic views on occasion,
mm-hmm.
and in his private life, he's very much himself.
Well, it sounds more promising, Major.
I think so, sir. He's a type, all right. But I'm going to put two men on to watching him. I want to know his friends, where he goes in his time off duty, everything we can find out about him. We won't make a move to arrest him until we're certain he's our man.
Yes? Well, Maria, come in.
Mr. Bradley, I've got to talk to you.
Wait, I was going to send for you. I just heard the news. That photographic studio we used in Kensington has been raided.
What? And Robert?
It doesn't matter much about Robert. He's not into our organization. But if British intelligence had found any of our microfilms...
Oh, bad. Very bad. I've just left Paul Winfield.
Any more documents?
No, and I'm worried.
Why, my dear?
And Paul is starting to lose his nerve. He may break. For the good of the organization, I think he should be eliminated.
I was in Major Anderson's office when the call came from his agent, Grady.
Hello? Anderson speaking.
Major, this is the Wandering Irishman.
Where are you, Grady?
Still inside the U.S. Embassy. The cipher shifts are changing over now. The rest of the group have come out, but our man is still in there.
Now listen carefully.
Yes, sir?
Give Winfield every chance to get tail of the place.
Uh-huh.
Forbes and Elliot are waiting outside to tail him. If you can join them, do so. Understand?
Sure. Here, listen. I can see the door of the cipher room from here. The boy is coming out now.
And keep out of sight. We'll stand by, and when you've some idea of where he's heading, try and phone me.
Uh-huh.
We want to be in on the final show.
I'll do my best about that. I've got to go.
Good luck.
Goodbye.
Is that you, Maria?
No, Paul.
Oh, I thought for a minute it might be somebody else.
Who else could it be? Nobody's aware of our meeting.
Not even your chief, whoever he is?
Not even him. Have you anything for me?
Yes, these 6 messages.
It's very good, my dear. Wonderful.
But you've got to be quick with them, because this is the last job I'm doing. I want to get the documents back quickly, late tonight.
Don't worry about them. We will attend to them.
Listen, Maria. You can't keep them. That'd be the finish for me.
You keep your voice down, you fool.
I must have those messages back tonight, and after this, I'm through. Do you hear what I said?
I heard.
Well?
It's your decision, Paul. But I think this had better be goodbye. And we won't meet again.
Maria, wait a minute. What about returning those papers? Maria!
Grady, did you get through to Major Anderson?
He's on his way over, Conroy.
Oh, good.
Hey, wait a minute. What's happened down there?
The woman's leaving.
And Winfield's running after her. Hey, look. There's two men going for him. Yeah. They come out of those streets. Come on!
Bennett, you get Winfield. We'll take care of these fellas.
Yeah, we certainly will.
Get him, Kitty! And run for it!
You won't be running anywhere, chum. Not after we're through.
Let go! Let go!
Are you ready to go quietly? All right, I have to keep convincing you. Oh, that takes care of him. Is your chap quiet, can I?
Yeah, sure is. You got the tough one. Looks to me as if the woman got away.
Never mind her for the moment. You search these two.
Right.
Look, I'll give Bennett a hand with Winfield. It looks as if he's making a fight of it.
The prisoner, Major Anderson.
Sit down, Winfield. Thank you, Grady. You're practically forgiven for cleaning them before I could get there.
Thank you, sir.
Winfield, I'm Major Anderson of MI5. You've been handed over to us by the American authorities in London, and you're going to stand trial on a charge of treason.
He's not very good with the conversation, sir.
I see. You might as well know, Winfield, the full penalty for your activities is death. High treason against your own people, your own country, is the most despicable crime of all.
You can't put me on trial. I'm an American. You can't try a foreigner in the law courts.
I'm afraid you've been misinformed. We can. And stealing top-secret documents and handing them over to Nazi agents is something we don't like very much.
Hitler will annihilate the English and the Americans. Do you know that he's going to conquer the world?
Shut up.
Yes, he'll conquer the world for its own good. To give him the kind of rule he's given to Germany. Full production, full employment, happy, healthy homes.
I said you better shut up. We're not Adolf Hitler fans around here.
You English. You smart, pseudo-clever English. You earn...
So will you, Winfield, and your friend Hitler. You'll go to trial on a charge of treason.
Well, you can do whatever you like. I'll appeal to the White House.
We'll arrange that for you. The man in the White House doesn't like Adolf Hitler either. All right, Winfield. The woman you met got away. We want to know who she was. If you try to protect her, you're planning a certain walk to the scaffold. And she wouldn't mind.
What do you mean?
We've questioned those toughs we arrested on the embankment. Their orders were to kill you.
What? I don't believe it.
You were getting jittery, Winfield. You were getting dangerous.
Maria wouldn't let them do that.
Maria? The woman you met? They conferred with her under the shadows of those trees before she came to meet you. She gave them their final instructions.
It was the river for you, pal. A nice little suicide job so you couldn't do any talking.
Maria planned to kill me? Was that why she walked away so quickly? What was it she said? We won't meet again. Oh, Maria.
I can't guarantee you very much, Winfield, but you'll get some remission for information received. What was her name?
Maria Cordova.
Where did you meet her?
Nuremberg, 6 years ago. She's a Spaniard by birth, but she lived most of her life in England. We were fond of each other. Our orders were to work together.
Do you know if she has contact with other members of the Nazi spy ring here in London?
Yes, she has. Someone she calls the chief. I had the impression he's an Englishman.
Then this might lead us to the entire espionage organization here in London. All right, Winfield. There's only one more thing. Where do we find Maria Cordova?
Winfield realized the truth, that the Nazi spy ring had listed him as expendable and had made plans to eliminate him. He began to talk. He talked long and steadily, At the end of that time, MI5 knew everything about the activities of the woman called Maria Cordova and where to find her. But they didn't make any move to pick her up.
That'd be a waste of a good opportunity, Conroy. From tonight onwards, I'm assigning our very best men to trail her. To keep her under observation night and day.
You're after the big fish, huh?
Yes, the one Winfield told us about. The one Maria Cordova called the chief.
Tell me, how did Paul Winfield get into a thing like this?
Oh, he had German parentage way back, on his mother's side.
I see.
He was in Nuremberg to visit his relatives before the war. He met Maria Cordova there.
And fell for her, huh?
Pretty heavily. When they found out he was in the State Department, of course, they must have put her to work on him. They kept in touch. He wrote her he was being sent to England. That was before American entry into the war. And one day, Maria just turned up. Pretty soon, he was deep in the net.
And he stole decoded documents, took them to Maria, who had them photographed by the studio in Kensington, and then returned them the same night. That's how it was done, huh?
That's about it. Nobody suspected him. He had a clean record.
What happens to him now?
He'll be held until we're ready to grab the arrows. Then the lot of them will be tried for treason.
6 days later, the unsuspecting Maria Cordova led British agents to an apartment in the West End. They forced their way in and placed Maria and the occupant under arrest.
You will come along with us to answer some questions. This is an outrage. My name is Bradley, John Cornish Bradley. I'm a director of several companies in the city. I demand that you get out of my house.
I think we'll take the risk of being sued for false arrest, Mr. Bradley. I have a search warrant here.
Search warrant?
And a signed order for your arrest, should it be necessary.
Maria, you little fool. You let them hear, you stupid, blundering fool.
I didn't know. You must believe me. I didn't know.
All right, that's enough, Bradley. You can do the rest of your talking later. Bring them down to the car.
The trial, as was customary in wartime espionage cases, was held in secret. But as a witness, I was present. I sat and listened to the evidence and learned how, through this case, the whole pattern of a Nazi espionage ring had been broken. I heard Bradley, the ringleader, sentenced to death. And then the judge dealt with the cases of Maria Cordova and Paul Winfield.
You have both been found guilty of charges relating to the theft of highly secret documents. And of the still more serious charge of aiding and abetting the enemy in time of war. Paul Winfield, you have pleaded that as an American citizen, this court has no jurisdiction over you. I now categorically reject that plea. You are herewith sentenced to 7 years penal servitude. Maria Cordova, for you who accepted this country's hospitality from your earliest years, yet shamelessly betrayed it in our most desperate hours, I hereby sentence you to 10 years imprisonment.
And there's the story. That's where it ended, in the bleak courtroom of the Old Bailey as they led them away. I suppose I thought once or twice of Paul Winfield in the years that followed, but time gradually eclipsed all memory of him. The war ended. I signed up to write a column called Europe Confidential here in Paris, and until today, I never thought again of the man who tried to sell out his country all those years ago. Yet today, sitting in a boulevard cafe, I saw him, and at first he didn't remember me. For a very good reason, I hardly remembered him, because the Paul Winfield I'd known had been a young man, well-dressed, good-looking. But the Winfield I met today on the boulevard was a shabby man, aging faster than his years, a man who, as he hurried away from me, buttonholed a tourist with a camera slung over his shoulder.
Say, are you an American? I'm looking for a fellow countryman to try and help me. I had bad luck in the war, you know. I haven't been able to earn much of a living since. Anything would help, sir. Dollars or francs. Anything at all.
The man with the camera elbowed his way past with a look of disdain, and Winfield went shuffling along looking for another prospect. Me, I finished my lunch and came back to the office to write this story. The story of a man who backed a loser named Adolf Hitler.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy in another exciting episode in the series, Europe Confidential.
This is Basil Rathbone. Our half hour of mystery is almost over. Mike will be back again soon with another tale that makes the headlines behind the news. I, too, will be back to recall to you more of these stories which I hope you enjoy. Stories of mystery, suspense, intrigue, and crime. Well, goodbye now till we meet again to listen to another of the world's greatest mysteries.